With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, May 10th, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. Be sure to join us Sunday for Get Healthy, Young Living, where we'll be talking about staying safe online, among other things. Also, you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to listen to the latest shows and read the articles by The Watchman. And now I welcome back The Watchman for Part 12, Dunamis of Acts, Overseers, Church of God.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
So we are seeing Paul say goodbye to all those that were... he had been working, because he knew now he had to go back to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was one of those places that Paul knew very well. Now, we know him as Paul, but it was actually Shaul, or we call him Saul. And he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught under Gamaliel. He would have been very knowledgeable. Followed the law above many of his own peers, following the law blamelessly. He had been given power by the chief priests to go after the Christians. He would have been part of the Sanhedrin. He would have been well known, well liked, and well respected until he became a Christian. Now, at first, they were a little confused as what it would happen to him, what happened to him. But once he started debating with them and they found out they couldn't out-debate him and he had the upward hand and people started believing, then their tolerance for him turned to hatred and they targeted him anywhere he went. So after a while, he became a target. Those who followed him became a target. The believers who were in little groups became a target for Judaizers and other Jews who would enter in pretending to be like him and would try to lead the Gentiles astray. This was common at the time. So he's going back to the fire, folks. And he knows he's going back to the fire. And indeed, it is a fire. And, Paul was one of those, though, he could stand the heat. You know, they say, you know, if you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, don't go in there. And having worked in professional kitchens for more years than I care to tell you, and running them, you know, it's true. If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. Yeah, and it's the same way in this. You know, don't put yourself in a predicament that God didn't prepare you for, you didn't prepare for. See, just don't go out willy-nilly and say, oh, goody, I'm a Christian, I'm going to go take on everybody. That ain't the way it works. God has to call you, have to be anointed, and you have to be led of the Spirit. You don't go in your own power. Israel found that out. You don't go in your own power. When you do, you get defeated. You have to go in the power of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, and the call of the Lord. That's how it works. And in Acts 21 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes." Now Rhodes is pretty popular. "And from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples..." Now it's kind of interesting we talk about Syria, because when ISIS was going through, I was paying really close attention to all this during the 24-2015, and we were reporting on this. And of course the Syriac church is over there, and you know, they claim to be established from the time of Paul, and they had a lot of move of God going on. So we think of Syria today, we think of Assad, we think of Islam, there were a lot of Christians. I mean, God was moving, and so. "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." Now, you see, it's interesting that they would say that, because they knew in their spirit, the Holy Spirit had revealed to them that persecution awaited Paul. They knew trouble awaited. But see, Paul had already been given a higher commission. He was to go there. He knew he had to go there, and he was prepared to lose his life. And I think that when Paul went to Jerusalem, he was prepared, you know, possibly getting killed. But he was prepared to do that. But he went anyway. So there could have been a struggle within Paul, knowing that it was that dangerous. But see, this is the other thing. See, today one of the big things is personal prophecies. And personal prophecies are not good. We overdo them. And it's not good. I don't do personal prophecies. You want direction from the Lord, I'll tell you. You need to fast and pray and seek the Lord and get in the Word of God yourself. Because I can tell you, when I need guidance for the Lord, I'm not going to call you up and have you tell me what the Lord's will is. I'm not going to call you up and ask for you to do a prophecy to tell me what the Lord wants me to do. No, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to look to the Lord, and He'll let me know. And, see, Paul knew. And just because you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be restless in your spirit. It doesn't mean that your flesh doesn't say, don't go. You go by faith, and that's how Paul had to go. You go by faith. It's something you have to do. You go by faith. That's it. You believe it. You know, the Spirit of God is within you, and the Spirit of God urges you. It rises up within you. You know you have to do it. You know they can't stop you. But see, the thing of it is that your flesh will try to war against you, but you go and you do it anyway. And see, these people meant well. They meant well. They just didn't want him to get killed. They didn't want him to get in trouble. They, you know, because this was the Apostle Paul here. This is one of the foremost leaders of the movement. They didn't want anything to happen to him. But see, Paul, going back there, would face his, who Paul was. And so he went back there. And he faced it. And when he had accomplished those days, the 7 days, we departed and went our way. And they brought us on our way with wives and children till we're out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You know, you can see the ship. They're going to go to the ship. You know, I think of today. You go to planes, you know, and you leave. Or if you're a missionary, you get on a plane and you go to a foreign country, you send all your luggage over first. They didn't go to the church. You know, the gospel spread in the Roman Empire. They didn't have your cars. They didn't have your technology. They didn't have all your Bibles. They didn't have, you know, little laptops to carry with them. They didn't have, you know, little smartphones with the Bible on it. You know, we got all of that. You know? I mean, we got the Word of God everywhere. We got it on our smartphones. I've got it on all my computers. I've got my grandma's Bible there. I've got another Bible over here. I've got another Bible over there. I've got all kinds of reference books. I got more stuff than you could shake a stick. They didn't have that. Why do you think the Spirit of God was moving? They didn't have the arm of the flesh, folks. Having all these Bibles and having all this technology, what is that? Is that the Spirit? No, that's called the arm of the flesh. God may be using it, but that's the arm of the flesh. And God wants you to be dependent on the Spirit of God and the Lord. He wants you to get in there with Him. Now, it's okay to get on your smartphone and read the Bible. That's fine. It's okay to listen to tapes and CDs of the Word. That's fine, but you got to get into the Word. You got to meditate. You got to think on it. You got to look at it. You got to read it. You got to follow it. You got to get it into your gut and into your heart. They didn't have that. And they turned the Roman Empire upside down. So much so that they had even heard of this way in Rome. By the time Paul gets there, he actually meets with the Jews. And all they had heard is evil about it. Of course, they heard from other Jews. And see, you know, when we go through the book of Acts, you need to realize they did this in the power of God. They didn't do it by technology. They just didn't put up a, you know, look at CBN, and nothing against CBN or TBN or any other satellite network. You know, they just shoot it around the world. You know, I get on the internet, we preach and teach, and this goes around the world, just like this. And we've been doing this for 20 years. Now, see, make no mistake. In order for Paul to get the word out, he had to go to cities and find people, talk to them. He did that all over the place. And you're going to run into people demon-possessed. You're going to run into people that hate you. You're going to run into mobs that want to kill you. You want to go, you know, run into people that want to take you into their house and feed you and treat you well. And there were robbers and muggers and thieves and, you know, all over the Roman Empire. But they, you know, the gospel and, you know, all the guys, they went all over. Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy to you. So Timothy takes off with someone. They went in twos. You know, you don't know how good you got it. You know, you want to go over here to Lander. You want to go over here 50 miles one way. Or you want to go to another city or another state. You just go there. You either jump in your car or maybe you might take a train. We don't have many trains. Or you get in a plane. Boom, you're there. You want to come home? You get back on it? You know, within a short while, you're here. When they said they had to get to Jerusalem, there, you know, they had to find different ships. They had to sail. That took time. The ship just didn't get there. It took time for the ship to get there. And then they had to make sure they weren't doing this in certain times of the year because that was bad for storms. And it says, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. So they were, you know, I can just see them on the bow of that ship watching as the ship pulls out and the others alongside the shore, they're waving. This is another, you know, goodbye, you know. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. So, see, look at this again. You know, finding more brethren. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, it's what you wrap around your waist, the firmament, you know, to keep everything in, you know, your robe and stuff, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, the Jews did that with Jesus, too, delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles. And so Agabus, it doesn't say that he's a Jew, but, you know, he came from Judea, and, of course, he was a prophet, and so it'd be safe to say that he was a Jew, and especially when he said of the Gentiles, a fellow Gentile wouldn't have said that. He would have said Romans, you know, you're going to give him to the Romans, the authorities. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now see, this is where Paul had the higher calling here. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. And see, sometimes a calling that the Lord has you do is so opposite of what people think you should be doing. And in this case, Paul was bound to go there. He had to go there. He knew it because he had to also testify in Rome. He was pressed. Now, he didn't have all the answers now, but he knew he had to go. And see, he said he was ready to die. And I think, that there was a high likelihood that in his heart he felt that this could very well be it because he knew them all there. You know, he was well known, and once he shows up in the city and starts preaching, or you know, it's going to be open season on him, and he knew it, and they're going to think of any way to get him, and they're going to be glad when they do it because they're going to say, "Good, we finally took care of him. He's a traitor. He needs to die. He needs to get away from us. We want him to stop because he's leading people the wrong way." See, and so these Jews, they're not going to give up. And of course, the believers who loved Paul wanted him, "No, don't go there. Stay here with us. Go somewhere else. Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul." But see, they didn't understand. Nobody understood. Now see, Agabus, now this is again another time. Now see, I find it interesting. Now up the four daughters who did prophesy, didn't say they prophesied over him. But Agabus, a major, you know, a prophet, came down. And he did prophesy. Now, of course, Paul, you know, he loves them all. And, of course, he, you know, all the crying and weeping, that just breaks you up, man. You know, it's just like if there's something you got to do, you just got to do it. You can't just weep. Yeah, you know, you can just hear him. I know you love me, but I've got a call. I've got to do this. Don't break my heart anymore because I love you so much. Just, you know, you can see this in here. And he says, but you can't stop me. I've got to do it. This is the will of the Lord. Now, see, they wanted him to stop. And finally, because they couldn't persuade Paul, and of course, that's exactly why the Jews had problems with him, because once Paul got on a thing, you know, when he was bringing the word and was talking to these people, they couldn't whip him. You know, there's an old saying that when you go to talk to the Jew about Jesus Christ, you better take a sack lunch and be prepared to stay there all day and night, because that's what it'll take, if that, probably longer. You know, and Paul was like that for the Lord. You know, when they came up against him, you know, they better bring two or three people with them and a sack lunch and maybe some water, because you're going to be there a spell. And even with that, you're not going to win. He'll win. And of course, it says, and after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his hand. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are formed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. Now see, this is the problem. You're starting to find the problem now. Now see, James and all of the Jews that are in there really have a problem, because they're surrounded by the Jews. And of course, there is that Gentile faith, and then there is the fact that the Savior is a Jew, and Jewish customs, and, you know, there's this enmity that's in there. And in Acts 23, it says, Do therefore this, that we say unto thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Now see, this is interesting, because most of your church don't understand about the keeping of the law and walking orderly according to the Jews' commandments, to what they have in the law. And see, and we get, actually we get into this with Paul, but at any rate, let's get to verse 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, from strangled, from fornication. Now see, that's the bottom line for the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, there's no reason for you to take up, you know, any of these ordinances. Now see, when they were talking about it, and once you came to faith, they were not justified by walking in this. They knew they were justified by faith in Christ because they believed in him. Yet they were so ingrained to do this other, they would do it. And they combined the two. Now see, eventually this came at odds with the church and with the leaders of the church after the Gentiles, after the apostles had passed on. And by the time you get to certain of the church councils, Nicaea and the others, they were working to get rid of all the things that that the Jews do, to remove everything from Christianity 100%. And so this is part of history. This just happened, and that's why, you know, we've had, you know, ever since then, most of the Christian church having their own holy days, and not the feasts of the Lord, but their own. And, you know, they keep their own Sabbath, not the traditional biblical Sabbath, and a lot of other things, because it's part of the church council. This is what they did. Back in those days, if you even lit a candle as a Christian Gentile, they could have your head practically. I mean, you would get in trouble. I mean, you were to do nothing that the Jews did. You were not to observe in any way, shape, or form the traditional Sabbath that is found in Genesis at all. And so this is really the enmity that progressed over all of the days of the church, and it's still there today. We covered that, verse 25. Let's go to 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on them. Now, the Jews of Asia, how they got there, you know, traveled, but crying out, "Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and has polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved." Now see, this is how they get Paul. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul." Now remember, they're in the Roman Empire here. And in the Roman Empire, it one of the laws, you can't have a mob like this. You cannot let this thing get like this. But it did. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Now see, this is how quick it turned. Now see, you know, in essence, Paul should have never gone into the temple. But see, the other apostles didn't realize the extent to which Paul was hated. There was just too much enmity. And Paul, and of course, they would look at him as a traitor, which they did. And, of course, they were going to kill him. Now, of course, you may say, well, how can they do it? Well, actually, you can go back in the law and find out that you can kill him. You know, you can, there is judgment, you know. When you have someone that follows another god, I mean, you get into the law. But, you know, you're supposed to have everything verified by two or three witnesses, but see, all of these were bias witnesses. They hated Paul, you know. And of course, they were zealous for Judaism. And they thought Paul had forsaken everything. And of course, the scripture says the Jews, John chapter 1, that the Lord went to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the Jews, they just didn't see it. The chief priest didn't see it. Paul didn't see it until after the Lord appeared to him. And so so the captain, chief captain of the band, of the Roman soldiers, it says, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down into them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So Paul is getting the living daylights beat out of him right now. He's already said he's willing, you know, to give his life. And Paul has taken lumps before. He's been left for dead. And see, this is one of the things when we look at Acts, when we talk about, is he experienced? Is he someone you can trust? And a lot of the others that ran around with Paul are people that went through the same kind of thing. And they didn't flee. They kept there. They were sturdy. They had endured persecution. And see, this is the weathering, you know. And even in China, you know, some years ago, quite a lot of years ago, I had read where they were talking about all the leaders of the church, you know, in the underground church. Most of them had spent at least 10 years in prison in China for their faith. And that's the... that's the salt work. That is the foundation of who they are. That's how you know, these people are faithful. They can be trusted. They've already gone through the fire and they came out. And so there again, you know, I'm back to America. Of course, we've never been affected by that. Folks, it's coming. I know you may not want to hear it, but it's coming to this country. And the chief captain came near, this is verse 33, and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. You know, it's like he shot someone. He hadn't shot anybody. He didn't do anything. And some cried one thing and some another, and among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. They had to put him up above their head, you know, surround him and get him out of there. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying away with him. See, they and this is the kind of thing that happened throughout the Roman Empire. There were Jews that followed Paul around, and they would get the crowd excited, and they would go after him. I mean, look at the Lord. One minute the Lord is going through the streets in triumph, the next time they're saying crucify him. And they do crucify him. So, one of the things you learn real quick, when it comes to the gospel and the truth, and that is one minute you can be a hero, the next minute you're going to be the heel. You're going to be the one they're ready to crucify. That is the way it is. And in many countries, you know, you can have a friend, and all of a sudden he's your enemy. And of course, when we talk about the last days, you know, those enemies will be those of your own household. And of course, we see this happening already around the world, especially if you're a Muslim to get saved, your family rejects you. And verse 37, as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou an Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man. And now see, the guy didn't know who he is. But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license or freedom to do so, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. And, of course, Paul right now is getting right into the act of things. And it's an amazing thing when we see how this happens. When we see everything going on. Now he's going to make a defense. Now see, he's actually come out of it pretty good. They looked like they were going to tear him apart. Looked like they were going to stone him and kill him. He had received a number of beatings. Probably received a good beating. But when you have so many people ready to tear you apart, there's so many people you can't adequately kick and beat them up. You know, you're just pulling and stuff. So the fact that it was such a madhouse, and this is crazy. You think about it. This is mob rule, and this is the way some people, when they're trying to, you know, forces, when they're trying to overthrow something, they do it by mob rule. So in Acts 22 and verse 1, he says, "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent, and he saith." Now see, the other leader of the centurions, you know, the guard and everything, thought he was from Egypt, and that he had done a lot of evil things. But the fact that he knew Hebrew, you know, as well as Greek, he knew other languages, that's what did it. Now see, in verse 3 he says, "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way." Now see, they all knew what it was, the way. Now see, we know it as Christianity. But all they could do is, well, this way, this group of people that believe in this Messiah. "I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." So he's telling them what happened. He says, "As also the high priest doth bear me witness." Now see, he had connections right to the high priest, because the high priest gave him the go-ahead. "All the estate and all the estate of the elders." Now see, this is, he just didn't do it on his own. He had power from the highest authority in Jerusalem. "From whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." Now see, the only way Paul could have really known what was going on, he really had to get knocked off his high horse, and he did. He fell to the ground. "And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." Now see, this is a call. This is an amazing call. This is a true biblical apostolic call of God. And you know, I mean, you think about this, how he gets into this, and he's told, this is what you're going to do. You know, when we look at the prophets of old, in the Old Testament, they weren't asked, they were told. And so, you know, we always talk within the ministry about the permissive will of God. When you talk about the permissive will, you kind of think of Jonah, where God did allow him to run away. He didn't kill him right away. But he put him through enough stuff to make him want to go back and do what God wanted him to do. There is God's will, and then there is your will, which God most of the time will allow you to go that way. And he will teach you along the way. That's the harder route. We call that the permissive will. And there are people that never do make it in the regular will of God, because they live constantly in their own little permissive will of God. But see, make no mistake about it, the Apostle Paul had no choice here. He was told, he was shown, and that's it. And He says, when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. So now, this is ironic, because in order for Paul to see, he was knocked off his high horse, and not only that, he saw a great light, and now he couldn't see. Before, he had never seen the Lord, and he thought he knew the light, he thought he knew the truth. But in order to see the truth, he had to literally see the light and become blind again, so that in that blindness he would understand what really happened. Because when you go through something, you see a light, and all of a sudden you're blind, that'll wake you up. But, he says, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Now he also, not only, now see, he makes a point of this, a devout man according to the law, but it was the Lord that told him to go and pray for Paul. So we're talking about a believer who happens to be a Jew, and he was a devout man according to the law. So he was a believer in the Lord, but he still kept the law. But he believed in the Lord. Now see, when you read about the law within the books of Acts, most of your churches, the Gentile churches, will never cover, because we are afraid to death of the law. There's nothing matter with the law. Matter of fact, as a Christian, you do keep certain portions of the law automatically, and you probably don't even know it. Now, let's go into verse 13. And he says, and came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. So this is a guy, he just simply prayed, and Paul was healed of blindness. You know, I'm always astounded when I read these things. Do you know how hard it is when you're in a church and you're a believer, you know, and I take America. This is the same way in a lot of countries. You know, the comfortable Western countries, you know. We have all of our medicine. We have our doctors. I mean, I don't have the medicine. I don't use it. We have our natural stuff that we utilize and other things. But, you know, our doctor is the Lord. We believe in the divine healing. But I've been in the hospital, and doctors have been used, you know, to give me back my life and help me. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that you look at this, you know. I mean, you read about miracles, and it just happens. It's the way it is, see. But in our life today as Christians in the world, and I don't mean all the world, I mean mainly in the West, we call the West that has, it's hedonistic. It is secular, carnal, it's religious. And of course, you can put Australia in it, you could put New Zealand, you could put America, you can put Canada, you can put the UK, the EU, you know, I mean, that's what I mean. People that have lived free lives, been free to do what they wanted pretty much. But see, the power and the deliverance and the miracles weren't easy. See, in the book of Acts, it was just a fact of life. It was the way it was. And when we talk about the brethren and the persecution that's going on overseas, the power of God and healing and the supernatural work of God is common. It's natural. They live with this. In America, we don't. We try to. But, you see, being rich and materialistic, hedonistic, It costs the society and it costs the church. And we still try to believe, but we don't have the same thing as the book of Acts. We have faith in the Lord, but Christians and churches are bound up with a lot of sickness. And, you know, we go to our doctors, and a lot of times, if healings occur, it's the last thing, you know, you go to the Lord, the very last. It's a lot of different, but it's not like this in Acts. In Acts, it is part of the faith. Now, see, this is what I'm trying to get at. It should be our faith. It should be part of who we are. And that's the way it is. Now, see, we do pray healing, and we do that. My kids were raised up seeing that. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that we need more of it. And, of course, Ananias then says to Paul, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Now see, this is the crux of an apostle. You're chosen of God. You know his will. You have seen him. And you've heard his voice. Okay? That's the apostolic evidence. Now, of course, we have a lot of people today that call themselves apostles and every other thing. But, you know, you don't try to attempt what Paul's doing without this kind of an anointing and this call. In Acts 22:15, "For thou shalt be as witness unto all men of what thou hast seen." That's just chilling. When you think that Paul, one minute, was tearing up the church, and he thought he knew the truth and was living in the light of God. He didn't know that he wasn't doing what he should have been doing, that it wasn't the truth. You know, and it's not that the law was evil, it's just that Christ had come, and there was a new covenant now, and God had declared that all men would be guilty so that all men would be able to be saved through Christ. And so now Paul has literally seen the light. He's literally seen the Lord. He's literally heard his voice. And he's been blinded, which also, this is real, Paul. You can't see. You're going to sit around for 3 days. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be praying. You're going to be thinking about this. You're going to be fasting. You're going to wonder what's going on. And you're going to come to your senses while you're blind, while you're thinking, while you're fasting, while you're meditating. And here, he doesn't say, but it was a while before Ananias went over to see him. Because you give him time. And of course, by the time Ananias shows up, Paul has had a chance to think about it. He hasn't gone anywhere. And so the light comes on, literally. And so Paul says in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus." Calling on the name of the Lord. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. So that's why, and Paul actually went to Damascus. I mean, he was there for a lot of years before he really got out and got going. And verse 22, And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust up near, now this is a typical stubborn Jew here, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now see, this is the truth. Paul knew the law. And see, this is one of the reasons he's going to wind up going to Caesar eventually. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, are you a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, What with a great sum obtained I this freedom? And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Now this is amazing. Paul was freeborn. The captain had to pay for it. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after that he knew he was a Roman, because they had bound him. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And this is, you know, this really is an amazing part when we talk about it. You know, you have Paul. And the thing that you have here is that Paul uses the law in order, you know, to have a little justice. And, you know, he just doesn't let things go, you know. He knows his rights. And he, you know, tells them about it. Now, see, that again, refers me to America. Now, in America, things may be bad, more than you think. There's a lot of turmoil in America, a lot of problems. Under Obama, we saw Christians getting, you know, being sued because of, you know, the gay lesbian thing, that didn't like it because they wouldn't do things they liked. And so they would sue the cake maker and with various things. But you see, the thing of it is, in America, though, we do have laws still. We are still have certain freedoms. And so we can utilize those as Christians and say, wait a minute. You know, I am a free-born American, and I am here, and I have rights, and you can't do that to me. And we have now, thank God, like Jay Sekulow and other lawyers who are Christian, who have taken things to the Supreme Court, who have stood in for people like Pastor Brunson and others overseas as part of their ministry. And there are people today that utilize this stuff, you know. And this is so important, you know. And so while you're in America, or you may be in some other country, there are laws. And people just don't have a right, you know, to go do some of the things they want to do. And the Jews really didn't have a right to riot. But the Jews were known as people that caused problems within the Roman Empire. That's why they tried to keep them placated, so they could control them. And they knew that wherever they went, if they did things right, played it right, they could come up against them and cause chaos and trouble for those they didn't like doing stuff. That's the way they did it time and time again. Now, in this instance, they tried it in Jerusalem. And they would have killed Paul, but see, it wasn't the Lord's will. It wasn't his time at all. And in the end, it's going to be that fact that he is a Roman citizen that's going to deliver him back up to Rome itself. So all of these things are very, very important in how this works together. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear this word, Lord God. Move in their hearts. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Amen. I like the way this that God speaks to him and deals in his life to bring him around.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting.
It is. It is. Yep, I enjoy this. I like this.
Me too.
There's a lot of things we can learn from it. And so, folks, we're going to be getting out of here.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate you. And may God richly bless you. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar and part two of what?
Pentecost.
Pentecost. How could I forget that? Part two of Pentecost.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night,
we'll
everybody.
See you.
We'll
Shalom.
See you tomorrow.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, Shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.